There's a bit of irony in that the ruler of the Roman Empire is counting his subjects when God decrees the birth of Jesus. The days were fulfilled for Mary to give birth. This phrase teaches us that there was a set number of days, a preordained time, according to God, when the Savior and ruler of all humanity would infiltrate this world, and there would be nothing the world could do about it. The gospel lesson this evening begins with one worldly ruler counting his people via a census. The ruler of the cosmos, the ruler who permits people like Caesar to reign, already knows his people, even as an infant. It's well known that Jesus was born in a stable because there was no room. This is a portent of things to come, as the world had no room for Jesus when he was confined to a stable and placed in a manger. It would continue to rage against his teaching and works, all of which would culminate in his crucifixion. This also foreshadows the life of the church, Christian teaching, treasured and confessed by the baptized, is always at odds with the world. The world still has no room for the church, no room for Christ and his word. The word of God that continues to make the uncomfortable distinction between godly morality and the morality of Satan. But though the world rages against the word of God and desires the death of his servants, that's not cause for alarm. You see, it doesn't matter what the world thinks of Christ and his church. A Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. And we hear from Isaiah today, the reading in Isaiah, that good tidings of joy will go forth to all nations, to the very ends of the earth, and there's nothing anyone can do to stop it. Caesars will come and go. Governments will tyrannize and kill, persecute, and try to snuff out the light of the church, but God has decreed it won't happen. It can't happen. Your king has come. Your king reigns. And the message of his salvation for all people, it will spread. On this Christmas Eve, the word of God that we heard is very much about the birth of Jesus and the true peace that his birth means. The praise of the heavenly host at the birth of Christ goes like this: glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. This raises the question, how is God pleased with me? If you're frightened at the prospect of standing before the throne of God, then you are in good company, because even the shepherds in today's reading, they tremble at the appearance of the angel of the Lord. They're surrounded by God's glory, and they do not boast and brag. They are afraid. They are exceedingly afraid, and their knees only cease to knock once God's messenger speaks to them a message of peace. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Their fear gives way to the desire to see Jesus. And when they see him, they leave and they confess him to others. The shepherds, they fear the glory of God at first, and rightly so. God is holy, we are not. God is righteous, we are not. God is clean, and we are not. Our sins pollute us, and his law does convict us. In our flesh, we have nothing to offer to pay for our sin, but all of us in this room can remember plenty of things we've done in our past that haunt and remind us of our weaknesses, and we tremble. There are the secret sins that you have, and you keep them to yourself. Thoughts in the mind that make the knees knock. There are the temptations that hit all of us like a battering ram encountering a rotten door. We've sinned against our neighbor, refusing them our love and patience, and we've been hurt by others who have returned the favor. Ever since creation's plunge into sin, life is difficult. Our lives are unpredictable as we live with the constant nagging prospect that tragedy can and often does strike without notice. We have no guarantee our health will hold up. We have no guarantee this will not be our last Christmas Eve to celebrate. We don't know where our jobs will take us, if we even have one a month from now. We also don't know when our loved ones will leave us. Between living in sinful creation and dealing with our own sins and our own guilt and shame, the prospect of standing before God in his court, scary. No wonder the shepherds were afraid. No wonder they trembled when they were encompassed by God's glory. Glory and sin, holiness and sin do not mix. Though we don't know exactly what was going through the minds of these shepherds, it doesn't seem too far-fetched to suggest they believed this encounter with the divine would lead only to their death. Similar to Isaiah's encounter with God. When Isaiah has the vision of God, he pronounces a woe upon himself and he calls himself unclean because he sees God and doesn't expect to live. Notice, in their fear, in the trembling of the shepherds, they hear the proclamation of peace. Do not be afraid. The reason for these shepherds vigilantly keeping watch over their flocks not to be afraid was because for them a Savior had been born. My friends in Christ, I don't know what keeps you up at night. I would imagine for most of you sitting here right now, there's something deeply weighing on your mind. And when you contemplate standing before God on the day of judgment in light of your sins, and they are there, there's plenty of reason to be afraid. Except for the fact you have been given a Savior, and he is Christ the Lord. And he is with you, and he is for you by faith. The shepherds believed. They believed what they heard, and they go to find Jesus. Faith from hearing the message, the proclamation, drives them to Jesus. They see him, and they leave confessing what their ears heard and their eyes saw. Faith always comes by hearing. The shepherds heard. They believed. Today, my friends, this evening, you've heard the word of God. You've heard the good tidings of joy and peace that comes in he who saves his people from their sins. If you're wondering, how does God find pleasure in me? Then turn not to yourself, turn not to your own strength, but hear again the words of your Lord, the message of, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Believe in what you have. You have a Savior unto you has been born for you. Savior in Christ. For you, Christ comes into this world. For you, he takes all of your sins, all of them. And he pays for them at the cross. The peace you have with God, it is not earned by your works. And it's not as if one gets it because they have sinned less than the next person. God's pleasure and his peace is for all people. Many reject it, others believe it, and it is theirs. The church repents over her sin, and in her fear receives absolution from Christ, free forgiveness, no strings attached. How should the Christian live? Not by boasting, not by bragging, but a life of repentance, a life of contrition and faith. Contrition, that fear and sorrow over your sin. And faith in Christ. That means you have his mercy, compassion, and you have his forgiveness. And contrition, sorrow over sin, even sorrow over not feeling the weight of your sin as you think you should. This isn't something we pretend. No, it happens just by being sinners in a fallen world. There is plenty of sorrow that just comes from life under the cross. Life with all its burdens, life with pain, life of suffering. As we look forward to experiencing that glory, that true glory when Jesus finally takes us from this life. For now, my friends, if you think your sins are so bad and your record of transgressions are so great, God cannot simply forgive you, then think again. God's grace and his joy, it is for all people. Christ sheds his blood for all people, and his merits, his victory, all that he achieves at Calvary, my friends, you apprehend that by faith. The shepherds believed, and they had the salvation that was theirs in Jesus. They heard it. They believed it. God is no liar, but he fulfills his word. He did it for the shepherds, and he does it for us. My final point is this. We notice, too, that Mary treasures all of these things in her heart. That is what it means to keep God's word. To keep God's word is to treasure it. Hold on to it and treat it as a holy relic that you cannot live without. We often fall into that deception that we can do without hearing the word of God, even for a small period of time. But we would do well, however, to learn from Mary in the sense that as she pondered and treasured the word of God in her heart, we would do the same, that we would hear it, believe it, and confess it to others who need to hear what God has done in this Savior born in a stable to a virgin. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which truly does surpass all human understanding, may it guard and keep all of your hearts in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.